오늘 우리에게 주시는 하나님의 말씀은
The word of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 1 verses 27 to verse 30. Philippians chapter 1 verse 27 to verse 30. It is page 319 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw ahead, and now here that I still have. Amen. May is the family month, and in Korean church, generally the first Sunday is commemorated as the Sunday for children, and the second Sunday is commemorated as the parent Sunday. At our church, we combine these two to keep the first Sunday of May as the first Sunday. That's the family Sunday. There are also a lot of programs and festivities related to church in our society as well. But there probably was not a time in which family disintegrates so often. In TV dramas and in movies and in novels, it's difficult to find an instance of a healthy family. And nearly always, there is a secret surrounding a person's birth in TV dramas. The problem is that the society is becoming that way more and more. Therefore, starting from today, during the 1 month of May, I plan to give a sermon that focuses on the family. Actually, I always feel a burden when I give a sermon about a family, and I'm never confident about the topic. And so I also plan to take this opportunity and reflect deeply on how the family could be made better. I hope that all of us, as we reflect on how the Bible speaks about the family, will examine the status of our family. And even if you're not yet married or alone, please listen carefully for the family that you will be making one day in the future, and to teach others lead others in the right way. I have a Class 1 driver's license that I obtained in 1995. The day after I got the license, I drove from Lunyondong, Gangnam-gu to Gwangjang-dong, Gwangjin-gu, by going on the Northern Riverside Highway. The car that I drove at the time had manual gear. I was so nervous and careful that on the first day I could only use 1, 2, 3 gears. I knew that I was supposed to change to 4th and the 5th gear when I drove on the highway, but I could not move my hands. After I drove for 6 years, I moved to Geneva. In Geneva, I used the bus about 7 months without owning a car. And I signed a contract to buy a car at an auto show in Geneva and drove again. I was also really nervous on the first day that I drove abroad. The house that I lived in was only a few kilometers away from the car dealer. And on top of that, the car had an automatic transmission, and I knew the street. But I felt the same way that I did the first day I drove after getting the license. I had stopped driving for only 7 months. I did become used to it after a few days. But on the first day and the next day that I drove for the first time in Geneva, I really wished that another car was in front of me. If there was another car in front, then all I had to do was to follow the car. But there was a time when I became even more nervous. We needed a dresser in order to organize our things, so we went to a big store nearest our home. The store was not 3 kilometers away from our house. And among the dressers on display, there was one that which was a real bargain and which I really liked. I thought that if we lay down the back seats of our car, it would easily fit into my car. And I bought it. But the dresser was much bigger than I had thought. Now, in Geneva, it was pretty expensive to have things delivered, so people bring things home themselves. And so I rented a car to take the dresser. But maybe they didn't have a small truck that was less than 2 tons, or maybe because I had class 1 driver's license, they lent me a big truck, which was about 5 tons. After I received my license, I drove a car with a manual transmission for about 3 months, and after that, I drove only cars with automatic transmission. And for about 8 years, I had not driven a car with a manual transmission. And so I got this car, so I had to drive this thing. Fortunately, the parking lot was nearly empty, so I started the ignition and tried moving. I was not confident at all. On top of everything, in Korea, this car with the stick shift in our car, in order to drive it, you had to move the gear to the right rear, but this particular car, you had to put it at the left front. So the engine went dead twice before I went on the road. I was sweating on my back. I drove really carefully home, unloaded the dresser, and returned the car. Now I have a driver's license, and I had driven on a stick shift before, but I was still nervous and sweating. But is it easier to drive a car properly or to play the role of a husband or a wife or that of parents or children at home? If you drive a car without a license, then you're breaking the law and the car becomes a weapon. However, you don't get the driver's license just because you came of age. The way the residence cards is issued, they're not given because you have a certain level of education or have a certain amount of property. In order to get the license, you have to practice a lot. I failed the written test twice and also the road test twice, so. And so I know how you have to be on your toes in order to get the driver's license. But there is no one who has a husband's license, a wife's license, a parent's license, or kid's license in order to steer the family well. It is one of the tragedies of the families today that you get married when you come of age. So these days, at least, there are programs like marriage classes and school for dads and school for moms. But I became a husband and a father without getting even such education. I may act like I'm an okay person at church, but at home, there are so many ways in which I'm lacking as a husband and a father, and it often makes me feel very discouraged. Becoming a husband, a wife, and a parent is actually a very professional job. It's not something that anyone can do easily. We think that if you just live your life one way or the other, then you will somehow come to do your job as a husband or wife or parents, but it does not turn out that way. And so there are so many stories about parents and wives and who act the way that they shouldn't. There are so many heartless parents. So many things that should not happen in our families are actually happening, and this hurts us deeply. So today we will think about the role of parents with respect to the children. Now, parents are the first background for life and faith that are provided by God to children. So often the parents' lives are copied in whole by their children. If a child can be better than his or her parents, it is the result wholly of God's grace. In one family, there was a daughter who attended high school, but this daughter was a big headache for the parents. She didn't study, as she was told. She always came home late. They tried appeasing her, having a talk with her, and punishing her, but nothing worked. So the mother, feeling so frustrated, went to visit a famous fortune teller, Master. This daughter of ours is really causing so much grief. What should we do? Who is she resembling? Why is she acting like this? The fortune teller closed his eyes and started mumbling an incantation. 누구를 닮아, 누구를 닮아, meaning, who does she resemble in Korean? After a while, the fortune teller started to tilt his head one way and then the other way and asked, "Is there a foreigner in your household?" The mother answered, "No." The fortune teller went back to his incantation, 누구를 닮아, 누구를 닮아. The fortune teller once again twisted his head and said, "Are you really sure that there's no foreigner among your close relatives?" The mother also repeated very firmly, "Yes, no one for sure." The fortune teller, who began his incantation again, got irritated and said, "The fortune says that there is one, so why are you lying to me?" So the mother also got really angry. "I am saying there's no one because there is no one, so why do you keep saying there is one? What is the name of this person anyway?" The fortune teller said, it says Emmy. Meaning mom in Korean. Chi Emmy, meaning her mom in Korean. Where it says, you know, she resembles the Emmy. And there's a joke that classifies people into four categories. Singer. First-class singer does all lyrics and composition variants well. The second-class singer does live performances well. Third-class does not plagiarize. Fourth-class colors hair well only. Student, first-class student, liked by teachers and friends. Second-class, liked by friends. Third-class, liked by school store owner. Fourth-class, liked by PC room owner. Son, first class, son, class, studies well also. Second class, listens to parents well at least. Third class, at least has a healthy body. Fourth class, just like his father. I wish that the first class where children were just like his or her parents. Apostle Paul, sending the letter to the church of Philippi, until now, have related his greetings and prayers, described how the gospel is spreading although he's in prison, and explained his attitude, finding himself between life and death. And the first words of commendation he gives to the entire church of Philippi is, "Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ." By this he meant that in the same way that the people of Philippi thought that they should live according to the values of Rome because they were Roman citizens, the Christians should respect the gospel of Christ. The Christians should live a life that is worthy of the gospel. It is often said that the family is a reduced-scale church and the church is the enlarged version of the family. At the time, the church was actually a family when a few devoted people offered their homes for other Christians. That place became a church. So therefore, the commendation to the church of Philippi was, in fact, a message given to the families in Philippi. The verse 27 explains well what it means to conduct one's life worthy of the gospel of Christ in a concrete way. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. That the members of a family living in a manner worthy of the gospel means to strive together as one for the faith of the gospel. The word shinasleo, which means to strive together, is the word which is made up of the word together and athleo, which meaning to compete or to fight. So the word athletics came from these words. When we watch a movie like Gladiator, we see the soldiers line up to go to battle as if they were marching. And in the actual battle, the first line goes forward together. When that line is defeated, the next line goes forward. The word striving together. Other words that refer to that line formation for the battle. And it also reminds us of how the American football players line up together to go forward shoulder to shoulder so that they won't be pushed back by the other side. Among all people in the world, the people who must go forward shoulder to shoulder are the parents, the children, the family members. The first part of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, another letter written by Apostle Paul, wrote from prison to Rome, speaks about how the parents should conduct themselves before their children. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. What the parents should be most careful about in bringing up children is not to make a child angry. This is so because if a child is angry, it is difficult to educate the child in the same way. This is the same for grown-ups. If I'm angry at a person, then no matter what good words he says to me or what good proposals he makes, I will hear it merely as a nagging and a bother. I will describe four attitudes of parents that make children exasperated. The first is being temperamental. There are times that parents become angry with their children. Parents become angry because they get upset by a wrong attitude or a wrong behavior of their kids. But there are also times that parents become angry because they can't control their emotions. This little punk, I gave birth to him and I brought him up since his birth and this is all he could do for me. We can't deny that we become angry when this kind of feelings overwhelm us. When a child does not listen to us outside of home, we should not say things like, wait until we get home. When parents become temperamental, being pulled one way and then another by their emotions, the child will only learn to read the parents' moods. What really makes the kids angry is not being able to predict how the parents may act or feel. Some days the parents are kind, in a great mood, and let the child have everything he or she wants. But the next day, being overwhelmed with emotions punishes the kid for minor infractions because of how they happen to feel. This kind of capriciousness makes a child angry. The second is acting irrationally. This is parents judging with their own thoughts and judgments without thinking from the perspective of a child. It is true that parents are people who know the most about their children, but it is not true that they know everything about them. Of course, in the past, children were not allowed to speak up their reasons to parents. And of course, it is possible for children to lie to manipulate their parents. But despite this, the parents must not act irrationally. There is a famous saying by an American philosopher named Emerson. What you are speak so loud that I cannot hear what you I cannot hear what you said. What you are speak so loud that I cannot hear what you said. Parents hope that children will listen to them and act on them, but children do not act according to what the parents say, but act according to how their parents act. We do not change even when we listen to God's words. Now, would children change merely because of the words of the parents? How could we possibly hope for this? To children, the actions of parents speak so loudly that they cannot hear what the parents say, no matter how loudly they're spoken. The third is self-centeredness. Parents say this to their children. What would bring glory to God? You going to the best university or some third-class college? If you say that you have faith but can't even go to college, then wouldn't people look down on those who believe in Jesus? If you suffer a bit to go to college, you can do anything you want. This kind of selfish attitude makes the children angry. This is not about bringing glory to God, but parents not wanting to be embarrassed before other people. A kid kept a door of an elevator open and yelled out, "Mom, hurry up! Elevator is waiting." But the mom walked slowly. The man who was already in the elevator became irritated. After a while, the mother got on the elevator, and when the door closed, the mom scolded the kid. "I told you not to do that." The man who was riding the elevator together approved and thought to himself, "Right, wrong action should be scolded." But the mom said to the kid, "What do you mean by elevator? Now repeat after me, elevator." Parents' consideration of others make children have a broader heart. Lastly, it is showing too strict of an attitude. There are many parents who think that being strict is the best. Fathers especially think this way. But it is not the case that children always grow up well under strict parents. It is only right that a child is punished when he or she does something wrong. And if the punishment is too light, the child will feel that what he or she did is no big deal. And if the punishment is too severe, it will give rise to anger. And so punishment must be appropriate. Love is a part of disciplining, but punishment mixes in emotions. And so a lesson and encouragement is left behind disciplining, but rejection and hurt remain after use of violence. Fathers often think that their children should be brought up to be tough, particularly for boys. So it is thought that a lot of punishment, a lot of beating, a lot of spanking will make their children tough. Many fathers, including myself, have this kind of ludicrous ideas. We think kids should fear their fathers no matter what, and when a father says something, they must listen unconditionally without any objection. But the Lord did not treat us this way. He forgave the woman caught in adultery at the scene. He forgave the tax collector who was shunned by others. He only became angry with Pharisees and scribes of law who thought they were acknowledged by God. He only became with those religious leaders, and he always treated others warmly. He did not beat us, chased away from home without clothes, when we lived foolishly, not knowing the truth. He treated us with warmth and accepted us. Isn't that so? So being overly strict with our children is to make them pile up exasperation. Then how should parents bring up their children? The second part of Ephesians 6:4 testifies as follows. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The most important role played by parents is bringing up children. Bringing up means to raise kids until they can live by themselves independently out in the outside world. Now, how deeply does a person who has a responsible position at work think in order to make a decision? The reason for such hard thinking is that the decision will affect many people. This is the same with children. The decisions and the ways in which children are brought up will have important consequences. And the verse tells us that the instrument to be used to raise up children by parents are the training and instruction of the Lord. The school and a nation may raise our children to become an intellectual or a skilled person, but they can never raise them to become spiritual persons. That is the responsibility of the parents and the church. And between the parents and the parents play the more important role, the major role, and church plays a supporting role. Therefore, unless the parents have faith, it is impossible to bring up children in the right way. Not to exasperate the children and raise them up in the training and instruction of the Lord are the ways in which parents conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel and the family to be striving together for the faith of the gospel in one heart. In 2005, I went on a trip to Rome in summer. In Rome, which is known for its fountains, we first went to see the Trevi Fountain, the most well-known one among them all, and to see the Piazza di Spagna, where the movie Roman Holiday was filmed. We were about to get on a subway to return to our hotel when a woman who was nursing a baby came near me. At the time, our second son was really tired, so I put him in a baby carriage and I was pushing the carriage. And the woman lowered a corner of the blanket that was holding her baby. I didn't think anything, but after a while, I felt something being taken from my body bit by bit. I suddenly thought, oh no, and grabbed my wallet. Then a hand hurriedly left my pocket. At the time, I was wearing shorts, which was a bit loose, but which had a zipped pocket. The zipper was, of course, closed. So the woman was holding a baby with one arm and was feeling for my pocket with the other hand. I looked at her, although my heart was beating, and then my eyes met the eyes of the baby who had let go of her mom's breast. The woman disappeared as soon as the door to the subway opened. But until the trip to Rome was over, the eyes of that baby did not leave my head. Every time I saw a young child, I recalled the eyes of that baby, and I felt such waves of regret that could not be expressed in words. The baby, from the time that he or she could not speak, was inheriting a life that was not worthy from the mom. If on that day the mom has succeeded in taking away my wallet, maybe the child would have eaten well for several days. If they did not have a house, maybe they could have rented a room to sleep in. But the life of that baby would have changed for the worse day by day. The day before, I could have had my wallet stolen, I had visited the catacomb. There are about 120 catacombs that have been discovered to date, and their distance is about 900 kilometers when added together. Most people who are buried there are Christians. It is said that many of the discovered remains do not have heads or have an arm or a leg missing. They are the remains of Christians who were put to death by being fed to wild animals like lions in the Colosseum. Before these Christians were put to death by being fed to animals, the soldiers would cajole them and say that if you only confess even now that the Roman Emperor Caesar is the Lord and not Jesus Christ is the Christ, then you will leave this place in a golden carriage and we will give you Roman citizenship. But most Christians died by being fed to the wild animals because of their confession that Jesus is Christ. They lost their possessions and had to live their entire lives underground. Catacomb is made up of underground tombs in three or four floors. There were many tombs of very small sizes. These were the tombs of little children. These are children who came to the underground tomb because of their parents' faith without knowing anything. They could not eat well or live to see their lives flower and had to greet death in the embrace of their parents. But these were children who inherited a life worthy of the gospel of Christ from their parents. Our lives appear either as worthy or not worthy to our children and to others. It is one or the other. God, who has given us the gospel of Christ, tells us to conduct yourselves in a manner worthy. If our lives were to be copied in its entirety for our children, shouldn't we act a bit more in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ? Let us pray. Father God, thank you for giving us the family and to take care of our family. God has created all things, and the first thing that God has given man is the family. But today, so many families are coming apart, and too many people are wounded by it and are suffering because of it. Give us the courage to examine, through the words of God, whether our families and the families we plan to make in the future are the same as the families that are spoken about in the Bible. If it's the case that our families are founded on the words, then allow us to nurture them in more beautiful ways. But if they're founded on social customs or in my conviction only, then allow us the courage to change them in accordance with these words. Father God, none of us have been educated to become parents. And we do not have the qualification to become one. But we thank you for the grace that has allowed us to become parents. Although it feels difficult to raise children at times without them, how could we have learned to become patient in the manner of Christ, to become merciful, to love, and to be moved by love of God? There are times that we become upset because our children do not act according to what we say. But help us all the more to trust the Lord and bow before you and receive your guidance. Help us not to make the mistake, foolish mistake, of trying to raise our children with our methods and our abilities. Allow us to live first in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ so that our children may see us and live in a manner worthy of the gospel as well and not become merged with the values of this murky world but become Christians who have fellowship with God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.